Welcome back to another episode of Authentically Happy. I'm your host, Michelle Savoie, certified life coach with a master's degree in applied positive psychology. And today I want to talk about emotional intelligence. By now, I'm sure you have heard of the term emotional intelligence, but you may not fully understand what that entails. So today I want to dive into what it is, why it's important, and start to explore the components of emotional intelligence. As I'm sure you've heard of IQ, emotional intelligence is often referred to as EQ or EI, and is debatably more important than IQ when it comes to success in all areas of life, even the workplace. Emotional intelligence is your ability to recognize and understand emotions in yourself and in others, and to be able to use this awareness to manage your behavior and your relationships. And notice how I said manage your behavior and relationships. I did not say manage your emotions. We are not going to be attempting to suppress emotions or remove negative or unwanted emotions. This is a very common misconception that many people believe. Many people think that emotional intelligence is the ability to manipulate your emotions, but it's not. It is the ability to recognize your emotions regardless of what the emotion is, be able to understand what that emotion is, where it's coming from, and what it's trying to tell you. And then being able to use that awareness to adjust your behavior or manage your relationships. All day long, you have stimuli to your senses: smells, sounds, touch, visual cues, tastes. What happens when one of these stimuli reaches your body is it sends an electrical signal to your brain. And this electrical signal has to follow a pathway to your brain, cell by cell. So I want you to imagine that the stimuli is a note on a piece of paper. It's handed to you. When that paper touches your hand, the cells in your fingertips have to pass the note to the cell next to it, who pass it to the cells next to them. Until this information moves its way through your hand, up your arm, through your shoulder, up your neck, and then into your brain. It can't just teleport to the brain. And this is important to note because the pathway that these electrical signals take is very specific and important, especially once that information hits the base of your brain. The pathway it has to take through your brain is very crucial to understanding emotional intelligence. This information enters your brain at the base of your skull through your spinal cord. The destination is your frontal lobe, which is just behind your forehead. So to get to your frontal lobe, the information has to travel from the spinal cord through the limbic system to the frontal lobe. The limbic system is responsible for emotions, behavior, and motivation, among other things. So this information has to travel through your emotion center before arriving at the frontal lobe, which is the logic and reasoning portion of your brain. This is why when you hear something, see something, experience something, you feel an emotional response before you can even comprehend what it is you're experiencing. This is an emotional reaction before your logical response can come. So we have these two areas of the brain that are going to deal with this information: the limbic system, which processes the information first and is responsible for emotions, behaviors, and motivation, and then the frontal lobe, which is responsible for logic and reasoning, which processes the information second. The frontal lobe cannot stop the emotions because that information is going through the limbic system first. The frontal lobe doesn't even know this information exists yet. So those emotions cannot be stopped. However, These two areas of the brain can communicate with each other and influence each other. This communication between the two areas is where emotional intelligence comes in. When you have high emotional intelligence, the communication between the limbic system and the frontal lobe facilitates efficient regulation and integration of emotional and cognitive processes. So you're able to recognize and understand your emotions, regulate your emotional response in accordance with your goals and values, and then effectively navigate social interactions and relationships as a result. For example, when you're faced with a challenging situation, such as receiving critical feedback at work, if you have high emotional intelligence, you may experience initial feelings of defensiveness or frustration when you hear this critical feedback. However, if you're able to regulate these emotions by engaging cognitive strategies, such as taking a different perspective, problem solving, or positive reappraisal, this will allow you to respond to the feedback constructively, learn from the experience, and maintain positive relationships with others. If you were not emotional intelligent, you might feel that same defensiveness or frustration and immediately act on it. Maybe you start projecting something onto this person, you start yelling at them, you start throwing out rude or negative comments towards them. That's emotionally unintelligent behavior or emotionally immature behavior. But if you are high in emotional intelligence, you're able to feel those emotions. You're still going to feel that defensiveness. You're still going to feel the frustration that comes from that critical feedback. But you're able to say, okay, I feel this emotion. I feel this frustration. But let me see it from their perspective. Why are they saying this? Okay, well, now I understand why they're saying this. Maybe I still don't agree with it. But how can I solve this problem? How can I move forward? How can I act now that's going to de-escalate the situation and help us move forward in a positive way? Because yelling, getting angry, being rude, these types of behaviors, while the emotions make you want to act in this way, it's not going to be beneficial for either party. Once you're able to effectively recognize and understand emotions and your responses within yourself, you can start to recognize and understand these in other people as well. So why is this emotional intelligence important? There are several reasons emotional intelligence is important, and it can affect basically every area of your life. But I'm going to list some of them to give you kind of an idea of how emotional intelligence really integrates itself into your entire life. First is emotional regulation. This is the whole purpose of emotional intelligence, is being able to regulate your emotions. And this allows you to recognize and manage your own emotions in a healthy and constructive way. This includes regulating your stress, coping with adversity, and maintaining a positive outlook even in challenging situations. Effective emotional regulation is essential for your mental health and your overall well-being. Emotional intelligence enables you to express your emotions clearly and assertively, while also being able to empathize and understand the emotions of others. This facilitates effective communication and fosters positive relationships in both personal and professional settings. Social skills. When you have high emotional intelligence, you're skilled at navigating social situations, building rapport, and resolving conflicts. You're better apt to read social cues, understand nonverbal communication, and adapt your behavior to different social contexts, which will enhance your interpersonal effectiveness. Emotional intelligence plays a crucial role in fostering healthy and fulfilling relationships. When you have high emotional intelligence, you're better equipped to communicate effectively, resolve conflicts, and build intimacy and trust in your personal relationships. You're also more likely to be more empathetic and attuned to the needs and feelings of your partner, your friends, and your family members. Emotional intelligence also influences your decision-making process by helping you weigh the emotional implications of your choices. You're better able to consider the feelings and perspectives of others, anticipate potential outcomes, and make decisions that align with your values and long-term goals. Emotional intelligence is also a critical attribute of effective leadership. Leaders with high emotional intelligence are able to inspire and motivate others. They can build trust and rapport with their team members and foster a positive organizational culture. They're also skilled in resolving conflicts and providing constructive feedback and managing team dynamics. When you have high emotional intelligence, you're more resilient. You're able to bounce back from failures, setbacks, or criticism more quickly. As you process the emotional awareness and coping skills needed to navigate challenging circumstances with grace and resilience. And I've mentioned a couple times conflict resolution. When you're high in emotional intelligence, you're able to navigate conflicts constructively by promoting effective communication, empathy, and compromise. When you have high emotional intelligence, you're better equipped to de-escalate conflicts, understand the perspectives of others, and find mutually beneficial solutions. Emotional intelligence also enables you to recognize and cope with stress more effectively. By understanding your own triggers and coping mechanisms, you can employ healthy strategies such as mindfulness, relaxation techniques, and seeking social support to manage stressors and maintain balance in your life. In today's rapidly changing world, adaptability is also very crucial for success in all areas of life, and emotional intelligence fosters adaptability by enhancing flexibility, resilience, and the ability to navigate uncertainty and change. When you have high emotional intelligence, you're open to new experiences, more willing to learn from feedback, and more capable of adjusting your behaviors and attitudes as needed. You're also more likely to have more empathy and compassion towards others, which helps you to foster deeper connections and a sense of social responsibility. You'll be more attuned to the emotions and needs of others and are more likely to engage in pro-social behavior and contribute to the well-being of your community. Emotional intelligence also provides a foundation for personal growth and development. By increasing self-awareness, self-management, and self-motivation, you can identify areas for improvement, set meaningful goals, and work towards self-improvement and fulfillment. Emotional intelligence also promotes respect for diversity and inclusion. By fostering an appreciation for different perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds, people with high emotional intelligence are more accepting of others' differences and less likely to engage in discriminatory or prejudiced behaviors. And lastly, research suggests that high emotional intelligence is associated with better physical and mental health outcomes. People with high emotional intelligence tend to have lower levels of stress, anxiety, and depression, as well as overall better health behaviors and outcomes. Emotional intelligence affects every part of our lives. But we can break these down into two primary competencies, personal and social, which can then be broken out into four components. So on the personal side, we can break it down to self-awareness and self-management. Personal competence is your ability to be aware of your emotions and manage your behavior. And on the social side, we have social awareness and relationship management. Social competence is your ability to understand other people's moods, behaviors, and motives in order to improve the quality of your relationships. I want to take a moment to note emotional intelligence is taking responsibility for yourself. It is taking ownership of your emotions, how you process them, how you respond to situations, and your behavior. I hear people all the time saying things like, "Ugh, he makes me so mad. She makes me crazy. They're making me so angry." Let's take an example. You get into a fight with your boyfriend, and he makes you angry, and you throw your phone at the wall. An emotionally immature or emotionally unintelligent person might say, "He made me throw my phone. He made me so angry." But let's look at the situation. He did not pick up your hand and force you to throw the phone. He may have said or did something that triggered you to feel extreme anger, but you chose to lean into that emotion. You chose the behavior that followed. You chose to throw the phone. Now, this may make some people angry, what I'm saying right now. You may feel frustrated at me saying that you're choosing your actions, because you might feel out of control when your emotions take over. You feel like you can't help your outbursts. And I'm here telling you, you should. You should choose your actions. You should control your behavior following an extreme emotion. I know it doesn't feel good knowing that you have to take responsibility for your actions and you can't put the blame on someone else. That's hard, but we have to. All emotions that we feel stem from five main emotions: happiness, sadness, fear, shame, and anger. The more intense an emotion is, the more likely it'll influence your behavior. When an emotion takes over and controls your reaction without you consciously thinking about it, this is called an emotional hijack. Many people sit back and allow this emotional hijacking to occur daily, especially when it's unpleasant emotions arising, like anger, fear, or shame. We do this as a coping mechanism, a defense mechanism. Have you ever seen someone be embarrassed and they react out of anger? That's the ego trying to protect itself. When we are overstressed, we tend to allow emotions to run our behaviors because it takes less effort to think about it, and we just blame the outcome on whatever or whoever triggered us. The thing is, everyone's initial reaction to every stimuli is an emotional reaction. It doesn't matter what stimuli or what emotion, there is always some kind of emotional reaction. Sometimes it's small, like a little sense of contentment or annoyance. And sometimes it's huge, like furious anger. We don't have control over this. However, it only takes a couple seconds for the information to pass through the limbic system to the frontal lobe, where the thoughts about the event occur. And this is where you do have control. As long as you're aware of the emotion, you have a significant amount of control over your response to the situation. But you have to actively want to change this process. You have to choose to take responsibility. You have to choose to exercise your self-control and self-management. How you currently respond to a trigger event is shaped by your own personal experience with similar situations, or how you witnessed other people, maybe parents or teachers or loved ones, react to similar situations. But as you work on your emotional intelligence skills, you will learn to recognize your triggers, understand your emotions, and practice positive ways of responding to the events that over time will become a habit. The communication between the two areas of your brain will also get faster the more you utilize that pathway. The more time you spend thinking about your emotions, thinking about your reactions to your emotions, and practicing different responses to emotions, the better that pathway will be. It's just like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it will be. And the stronger that connection, the faster you can process in the future. And eventually, your initial reaction to your emotions will become whatever you train yourself to do. If you are someone that sits back and allows your emotions to hijack your actions, you're acting on impulse, which is habit. If you make the decision to take action to understand, learn to recognize your emotions, and practice a new emotionally intelligent reaction, your new reaction will become habit. It will become your go-to response. You have to go through that uncomfortable journey of stopping, auditing yourself, your behavior, your thoughts. Be honest with yourself. It hurts to admit when we've been doing something wrong, behaving badly, maybe even hurting the people we love with our reactions to emotions. But you have to be compassionate with yourself. Allow yourself to see clearly all that you have done. Whether right or wrong, try not to judge it as good or bad. Just acknowledge how you have been acting up to this point. Make the conscious decision to do better and take the steps necessary to move forward in a better light. This journey of authentic happiness is all about letting go of who we have been, the habits that we're not proud of, the habits that have led us to shame and guilt and anger, and actively choose a more positive path forward. This week, I challenge you to recognize each emotion you feel as it arises. Whether intense or not, take note of how you respond to it. This week, I'm not asking you to change anything. Just notice. Notice what your typical reaction is to each emotion you feel throughout the week. See if you can notice the pattern of the stimuli entering and moving through your limbic system before your logic kicks in. You won't be able to catch it in the act, but seconds after it occurs, when you notice, wow, I feel this emotion, try to take a minute to reflect on what it was that caused it, what emotion first popped up, because you may have multiple emotions that pop up from a certain stimuli. And then what was your initial thought? What was the first thought that came to mind? As soon as that got to your frontal lobe, what was the first thought that came up? And then what did your thought process look like after that? Because you might have something like someone makes you upset and you get angry, you feel that anger, your initial thought is, I want to throw my phone against this wall. But most likely, you probably don't throw your phone against the wall. You probably have a couple of thoughts after that. And then you have an actual action that comes after that. Pay attention to that system, how that's working in your brain, what's occurring, what's your initial reaction to your emotions, and how do you typically navigate each emotion? What is your typical behavior in response to the typical emotions you feel throughout the week? In the coming weeks, we're going to talk more about the different components of emotional intelligence and actionable steps that we can take towards being more emotionally intelligent. So this week, just focus on your reflecting and trying to catch and recognize these emotions when they come up. I wish you all the best this week in your reflections. Until next time, take care.